Well, if you got the text or the email I sent out, I really do believe this word is so important. Some of the specifics of it, I shared a little bit of this the other day, that I was tempted, I tell Donna, if there's just a few of us, I was tempted to wait, but I put it out there for those who are watching on live stream. So we're just going to go for it, because some of the concepts, in not this Sunday, but the next Sunday, we'll share again. There's a word that I'm wanting to give. As I've mentioned, I find myself down this particular wormhole, and so we're going to just talk about that a little bit more. But this wormhole is so big that there are little bitty detours on the wormhole. And so this is the one little detour from the whole Colossians chapter 3 passage. But I believe they've got to give you ears to hear. Not only is it a really, really, really important word for you, but I believe it can be a really, really important word for you and you minister when you minister to other people. Because I really believe this is that identity, or trying to find who the true you is really the great search that every human being I know is on. And sadly, many Christians are still on, and yet they've never figured it out. They look for this or that or many other things. I told Livia, because Livia, of course, is a Christian psychologist, and she's always been fascinated with things that set people free. So I told her tonight, so she probably is watching, and I said, you'll like this because it answers so many questions. I do believe, I've said this before, that Colossians 3:11 should be the verse that every new Christian should be learned that first verse. That should be taught foundationally in every church when somebody just gets saved. And if we could just start there, we would cut to the chase so much in terms of Christianity and people's growth in the Lord and their growth accelerating at a steady pace. And Colossians 3:11 says that Christ is all and that he's in all. And that verse kind of says all. But we're going to talk a little bit tonight about discovering the true self. The fallen person, the person who's not saved, is a false self. It's an enigma. It's not what God intended. What Christ came to restore, he said, I came that you might have life and life more abundant. And so you're discovering who you are in Christ, who you are as a new creation, is adamantly significant to walking out that life that Christ says he came to give us. Understanding who the new self is. Because he talks about the old self being crucified and walking in newness of life, the new self, we put on the new self. But if we don't know what the new true self is, if we just think that's somebody who's forgiven, who's got a heart for God, and he wants to do all the kind of religious things Christians are supposed to do, then we've missed the boat. So we're just going to do this. I don't like teaching from notes. But if it's not a distraction for me, it could be a benefit for those who are listening, because I don't get run down too many rabbit trails. Alrighty, because we have a limited time in terms of what we want to share. We were all uniquely, every human being was uniquely created for the glory of God. This is what it says in Isaiah 43:1-7 in the Passion Translation. Now, this is what Yahweh says. Listen, Jacob, to the one who created you, to the one who shaped you and who you are. Do not fear. For I, your kinsman redeemer, will rescue you. I have called you by name, and you are mine. When you pass through the deep, stormy sea, you can count on me to be there with you. When you pass through the raging rivers, you will not drown. When you walk through persecution like fiery flames, you will not be burned. The flames will not harm you. For I am your Savior, Yahweh, your mighty God, the Holy One of Israel. I give up Egypt as the price to set you free, Cush and Seba in exchange to bring you back. Since you are cherished and precious in my eyes, and because I love you dearly and want to honor you, I willingly give up nations in exchange for you and even a man to save your life. We know that man is Jesus. I am with you now, even close to you, so never yield to fear. I will bring your children from the east and from the west. I will gather you. I will say to the north, hand them over to the South. Don't hold them back. Give me my sons from far away, my daughters from the ends of the earth. Bring me everyone who is called by my name, the ones I created to experience my glory. I myself formed them to be who they are and made them for my glory. This is from Isaiah 49, verses 9 to 11. This is from the New American Standard. For the sake of my name, I delay my wrath, and for my praise, I restrain it for you. Now, he calls us his praise. In order not to cut you off, behold, I have refined you, but not as silver. I have tested you in the furnace of affliction. For my own sake, I will act. For how can my name be profaned, and my glory I will not give to another? He's not talking about his glory to the priest. He's talking about he won't give his glory to anyone else but his people, to us. All right? We were created for his glory, but even more specifically, you and I were created to contain and display his glory. That's why human beings, their unique identity and their unique calling, to contain and to display his glory. That goes back to the whole image and likeness thing. We were created to contain his image, his presence, and to reveal his likeness, his glory. So the question is, and I looked up more to see what more people would have to say about it. In the end, it can be sort of brought down to this thing. You know, what is the glory of God? The glory of God is the beauty of his presence and his nature. You can kind of make that definition more elaborate, but in the end, it's the beauty of his presence and all of his attributes, his nature. His nature are all of his attributes, all of his perfections. Again, God's glory is the beauty of his presence and his nature. So we were created to contain his presence and his nature and to display his presence and his nature. In that sense, everything on the earth gives him glory because it points back to him, glorifies him, points back to some attribute, his power, all kind of stuff, the beauty we see in nature. But we are uniquely created for his glory, and we uniquely contain his presence and his nature and are called, we're created to put on display his likeness, to put on display his presence and his nature. It's important to remember that, because if that's what you were created to do, apart from being who we were created to be, we do find ourselves lost and trying to find who we really are. I wrote this in part one of this kind of thing I did yesterday in the devotional. And what I said was, is that to be lost, in our evangelical context, we have a tendency to think lost means that you're not forgiven and you're going to go to hell one day. But lost starts way before going to hell one day. To be lost is to live without God in the world, because we were created to contain his glory and put his glory on display, to reveal and display his glory. And to not do that, human beings search in every direction they can to try to find purpose and meaning, to try to find identity and significance. And that's what it means to be lost. To be lost forever means that you're separated forever from the presence of God, from the glory of God. But lost doesn't mean that your sins aren't forgiven. Lost means that you ever talked to somebody and when you walked away, you said, they just seem lost. Not geographically, they just seem lost. They just don't know what's going on in their life or life at all. That's what the scripture is talking about when it talks about being lost, being separated from that which makes you the true self you were created to be. The word sanctified, holy, just means to be set apart for the intelligent purpose for which you were created. I remember one time going to a conference in Birmingham many, many years ago. It was at Briarwood, which is still a huge church to this day. And he was at a Keswick conference. And Major Thomas was just talking about holiness. And there was a light that was out. And he spoke for like five nights. And every night he kept saying, that light is still unsanctified. Because lights weren't meant to just be there. They were meant to shine. And once it's restored to the original purpose which it was created, intelligently created, then it's been sanctified. Then it's holy. Holy just means that you're functioning the way you were intelligently created to function. And when we are experiencing and displaying His presence and His nature, then we're walking in holiness. See, we think holiness means all the things we couldn't do or shouldn't do. Holiness is simply putting on display all the things that He is. And when you do that, there's a lot of the things He doesn't do. But when you come at it from a negative perspective, then Christianity becomes this boring rule thing. That you can't, all the I can'ts. When Christianity is all about all the I can's in Christ. But He won't waste His time doing other things. There are things He won't do. But if your Christianity is just trying to keep the law, you'll keep trying to figure out ways to get around it. Now, these verses that we've looked at over the years a lot, particularly in the last few days, this particular wormhole that I find myself down, from Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 through 4. Since then, you've been raised up with Christ. Since then, you've been raised up with Christ. Keep seeking those things which are above, where Christ is at the right hand of God. And if it's true that you've been raised up with Christ, and if you seek those things which are above, where Christ is at the right hand of God, you will not just discover Him, you'll discover you. You'll discover the truth about Him, and in discovering the truth about Him, you'll discover the truth about you. Again, I'm quoting my spiritual father again, but Ian Thomas used to say that man was created to tell the truth about God. And that is who we are. But it's not by imitation or it's not by announcement. It's by display. It's by manifestation. See, it's one thing to give a report about somebody. It's another thing to reveal that person. To introduce that real person. Not just by storyline. Not just by announcement. Not just by something you write or say. You actually introduce Him to people. They actually encounter Him. And the truth about who He is. That's what's unique about us. Set your mind on things above, not on the things of the earth. And then these are the two verses we kind of concentrate on, particularly verse 4 tonight. For you have died. I wrote this down, I can't read my writing anymore because it faded away. All that you were and the life that you live was crucified. I like the way I wrote it down, but now I can't remember it. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. So again, that tells me, if my life, if the true me, is hidden in Christ, the more I discover about Him, the more I'm going to discover about the true self, the true person. Because of Adam and Eve's fall, every person is born with an identity crisis. You can see it manifested in the life of Adam and Eve. When mankind fell, the first thing they did was hide in the trees, behind the trees, from God, even though they were created to hide in Him. They were now hiding from Him. And they sewed fig leaves so they could hide from each other. Because original sin, man deciding that they can live without being absolutely in union with and dependent on the presence and the glory of God within, resulted in the original consequence, which was self-rejection and the fear of rejection. And then people, I love what Leanne Payne, I think she was quoting C.S. Lewis, used to say, at that point, mankind became bent towards the creature. And then we run around trying to do all these different things, to get into relationships, to try to find enough wealth, power, name, success, whatever, so that we feel good about ourselves, so that our worth, so we have enough self-worth. And so they hid from themselves because they were afraid of what? Rejection. They hid from God because they were afraid of rejection. So fear and the fear of rejection, guilt, which is a form of fear, and the fear of rejection is what every human being is born with, and everyone is on the search for true identity. Everything, every dumb thing, self-destructive thing that a human being does is out of not either knowing who they are or forgetting who they are in Christ. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, that's true about every believer, our life, plural. When Christ, who is our life, is revealed, and the word revealed here can be made clear, it can be the word revealed, it can also be the word manifest. And I said the other day at our noon service that one of the things I love about Scripture is it can say more than one thing. And we shouldn't be restricted by one thing as long as what we're saying doesn't contradict the breadth of Scripture. And I believe the Scripture is saying two things that are related to the same subject, but you'll see that in just a minute. He says, you've died, the person that you once were, everything that was true about you was crucified, what used to be true about you. And no longer the old fallen self, the entire fallen personality was crucified. For you have died, but now your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, is revealed, you'll be revealed with Him in glory. So I just wrote a few things. I'll just read them instead of trying to remember them. What we talked about the other day is this, that when Christ is revealed to you as your life, the true you will be revealed to you. Now, that's one angle for this scripture. What am I saying? It says, when Christ, who is your life, is revealed. So let's say it's revelations to you. When a Christian finally sees it, that they're not called to live for Him, because they will fail Him. You will fail Him. You're not called to live for Him. You're called to live by Him. And there's a big difference. You've heard my story before. You've probably read other people's story. When I finally came to the place where I quit trying to live the Christian life, I came to the place where I couldn't make it work. And I thought God was going to be so disappointed in me. It was a remarkable thing to discover that He was relieved that I'd finally come to the conclusion that He had known all along. That I couldn't live a life for Him that He always intended to live through me. And no matter how sincere I was, and I was sincere those first couple years, I tried the best I could. Did not know that He had come to live inside of me so that He could give me the best He could. And that's the Christian life. And so when Christ as my life, not just as my friend, not just as my helper, not just as the one I adore, not just as the one I have affection for, not just the one who loves me, but when I realize that Christ is my life, that He had come to live inside of me, I was in Him, He was in me, we were in union with each other, He who is joined to the Lord is one spirit with Him. That's what it says in 1 Corinthians 6. When I saw that Christ had come to live in me, when Christ was my life, when that was revealed to me, that began my journey. When Christ, who is your life, is revealed, you will also be revealed with him in glory. I began to discover the true self. I began to discover the new Chuck, which is the one that God always intended, not the fallen, false self. The old man was a lie. It was passed down from the garden. Trying to live your life independent from him is the great lie. Now, I think it's easier for lost people to live a life in contrary to God's will than it is for saved people. Because for Christians, you know his presence is there. You may not know what to do with it. You may not have discovered yet that Christ is your life. But you know that you signed up for something different. Lost people don't know and don't care. Unless the Holy Spirit's dealing with them to draw them in. But so many believers, so many clergy, live their Christian life behind veils, putting on a show, pretending to have it together, especially clergy. Because if they ever own the fact that they don't, then they figure they're out of a job. And most of us aren't trained to do anything else. When Mr. Reeves would come over to my house and fix things, he'd always say, "Good thing you're a preacher." Because he knew I couldn't do anything else. That's come back to haunt me over the years. I remember years ago, Craig and TC and I were coming out of Laney's, and Craig had a hurt back. And I weighed about 70 pounds more. I mean, I'm a big guy now, but I weighed a lot more. And we came out to get in my car, and I dropped my keys. And Craig and I just looked at each other like, "Oh, no." I mean, I could have gotten them, but it would take a while. Craig couldn't get them. And then finally, TC went, "Oh, thank you, Jesus. But I can't tell you how many things in life have come my way. And I've just, when it happened, not because physically I couldn't, like something would break or whatever. And I would have that same look on my face like, "Oh, no." Ron can testify to that. And it's really better that I don't try. Amen. Because it just gets worse. You all know the story. When we built this building, we built it pretty much all ourselves. Somebody put the electricity in, of course, the pews, but all the other stuff, we did most of it. Painted, helped with everything, and built this stuff. And my job was the cheerleader, and I wanted to help so bad. So I finally got, they bought me my own ruler thing that pulls out, goes back in. Those are cool. And a hammer. And I wanted, so I was in, we had never had pews, and I always wanted pews. Now, people don't want pews anymore, they want chairs, but I just wanted to have pews, and I measured all the time. And so then when I would visit our churches, I would count their pews. And then I would figure out how many pews we could get in. So I'd figured it all out, and I would, over and over again, obsessed over that. And then when we finally put the pews in, I was only missed it by 55 inches. They took away my hammer, took away my ruler, and never gave it back to me again. It's not 5 inches. I missed it by 55 inches. And I obsessed over that for months. Now, they had already figured in that process. So they ordered pews according to what they figured, not according to what I figured. But I'm grateful for that. When Christ is revealed to you as your life, the true you will be revealed to you. But now let's look at this verse from a different direction. When Christ, who is your life, is revealed to you, when you finally see that, then you'll be revealed too. You'll begin to see who you really are, what your true identity is, that you are called to contain and display his presence and his glory. But let's look at it this way. When Christ, who is your life, is revealed in you, as you walk in the Spirit, as he's revealed in you or manifest in you, then you, the real you, will be manifest with him in glory. You understand what I'm saying? It's one thing as I began to get revelation about Christ being my life, and I began to discover in that revelation, oh, this is who I'm really called to be. This is the real me. It's another thing to walk it out day by day. And Christ being revealed, manifested in me, step by step, moment by moment, situation by situation. And in the process, as that happens, Christ being revealed in me. When Christ, who's your life, is revealed, then you, the true you, will be revealed with him in glory, because that's who you're created to be. That's the true you, the one in union with him that gives display to his life. That's the true self. What a glorious self. What a much better self than any of us ever searched for or followed false paths to try to find. It's kind of like, I love 2 Corinthians 4:4. It says, for we have this treasure. And if you look through those passages, what it says, we got a little time, so let's look at them. 2 Corinthians 4:4. See, this is why this word is not like a good word. There are all kinds of good words out there. But why this is the foundational truth of the New Testament, and why Paul hammered it home all the time. That's why when you begin to go down this path, you end up going down these little wormholes all the time, because it's everywhere, almost in every verse in the New Testament. It is the explanation of the gospel. And no matter what we do, we can talk about the fivefold ministries, and people will try to find their identity in that stuff. We can talk about church growth. They'll try to find their identity in church growth. Relationships, find their identity in relationships, or children, or you know, husband, wife, boyfriend, girlfriend. They'll try to find their worth and identity in those things. If we don't get this part down, if you don't know who you are, if you don't know who the true self is, then you'll spend the rest of your life just in a different form, in the Christian form, trying to find your new self by serving more, by working more, by trying to be a Martha. Haven't you seen that before? And you could always tell when we're serving in search for our true self is because we get offended when people don't show enough appreciation for how much we've served. If it's by him, it's all about you and him. This is just the life he's living in, the story he's telling through you. But if it's trying to discover you, then your identity is people, you're still bent towards the creature and needing the applause of people. Now, does that mean that people who get to experience like things like Edith does and Dan does and all the other guys do, shouldn't hear appreciation? Yes, you should. And those of us should constantly say things like, I'm so grateful, thank you for doing that. But we can't do those things if we're the ones serving for those things. I can't do this so that you'll tell me how wonderful I am. I mean, that's a rat hole you can go down, I know. Second Corinthians 4, beginning in verse 4, in whose case the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelieving, that they might not see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. Verse 6. For God, who said, light shall shine out of darkness, is the one who has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. The glory of God in the face of Christ. But we have this treasure. What treasure? The glory of God. Face always references presence. The glory of God in the presence of Christ. For we have this treasure in earthen vessels, so that the surpassing greatness of the power may be of God, not ourselves. Now, if you have a clay pot that was created to contain the treasure of the glory of God in the person of Christ, then you cannot speak and reference that clay pot apart from what the clay pot contains. And if the clay pot had a personality, and we do, and that glory was removed, then you're just a clay pot running around trying to find other things to fill your life to give you worth and identity. But if we say things, well, I'm just a clay pot, are you? Not if you're in Christ. You contain His presence and His glory, that His presence and His nature might be on display through you. You're never just anything as a Christian. You're not just another one of those. You're holy. You're a saint. You've been uniquely, you've been set apart, uniquely being what you were intelligently created to be. A container and displayer of His presence and His nature. The treasure in the clay pot changes everything. If you have a globe that's got some kind of light stuff inside of it, but it's not plugged in or turned on, it's just a globe. But you turn it on, and it's more than just a globe. It's a thing of beauty. Because it's being what it was created to be. It's not just a globe anymore. And when Christ, who is your life, is revealed, when He's manifested in you, then the true you is revealed with Him in glory. Because you were created to live in the atmosphere and the environment of glory. That's who you are. And if glory isn't the context that you're walking in, then you're living under the deception of the enemy and being lesser than what God called you to be. If the Lord would have said, if, like, before the ages, and God could have had a conversation with me and said, look, here's the deal. Here's some options. You can be this, this, and this, or you can live in the realm of my glory. And every time my glory is on display, you get to participate in that. That's who you are. That's going to be the true you. That's going to be the true self. That's going to be your identity. I go, are you kidding me? In beholding your glory right now? I mean, I get to participate in that. I get to contain that and fellowship with that and enjoy that as my life. And the endless discovery of all that. And as your life is on display, revealed in me, the real Chuck shines. The real Chuck is also on display, because that's the real Chuck, the one who contains the life of Christ, who's created to just put that life on display. That's the real Chuck. That's stunning to me. My only frustration is I don't think I've come up with the words yet. Spiritual thoughts, my often spiritual thoughts run way past spiritual words. But God promises in 1 Corinthians that He will add spiritual words to spiritual thoughts. Therefore, you will be subject to hearing this until I'm content that the words that I have matches what my thoughts are. That's what I mean by preaching my way out of a wormhole. So hear this. When Christ is on display in me, then the true me is on display with Him in glory. I'm going to say it again. When Christ is on display in me, through me, in me, then the true me is on display with Him in glory. Because that is the true me. Not Christ, but the one who's in union with Christ. That's the true self. Man, what an identity. Now, in light of that, hear these verses. Same chapter. Now, let me just read a few things to you, then you'll see the stunning sequence here. Since then you've been raised up with Christ, keep seeking those things where, above where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Since you've been raised up with Him. Set your mind on things above. Let me just read it to you again. Let me put it this way. Since then you've been raised up with Christ, keep seeking heavenly things. Throne room things, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God, and set your mind on heavenly throne room things, not on the things of the earth. For you have died. Just the earth person, all you were, but nothing but the earth person has died. And your new life is hidden with Christ in God. And when Christ, who is your life, is revealed, then you will be revealed with Him in glory. When Christ is on display in me, the true me is on display with Him in glory. As His presence and His nature is on display, the globe is being itself. The clay pot is being its true self because it was created to contain the treasure. A chalice, even if it's made out of clay, we've got some pottery chalices. Chalices are blessed and set apart. They can't be used for anything else. You can't drink a Coke out of them. You can't drink 7-Up out of them. You can't. It's only set apart to contain the blood of Christ. That's why they call them holy vessels. When Christ, who is your life, is revealed, and you reveal Him in glory. Therefore, consider the members of your earthly body as dead to immorality and impurity. Now you see the sequence that makes sense. We were created for glory. Therefore, Christ is your life. Therefore, the old person died. Therefore, you're a new creation in Christ. Christ is your life. And when He's revealed, you're revealed with Him in glory. Therefore, consider yourselves dead to immorality, to impurity, to passion, desires, and greed, and which amounts to idolatry. So on account of these things, that the wrath of God will come on lost people, but we're not lost people. And in them you once walked when you were living in them, but now also put them all aside. Anger and wrath and malice and slander and abusive speech from your mouth. Stop, this is the language, stop lying to each other since you laid aside the old self with its evil practices. And you have put on the new self. Now listen to what he says. You have put on the new self who is being renewed to a true knowledge according to the image of the one who created him. Wow. A renewal in which there's no distinction. No matter where you come from, but Christ is all and in all. Those verses can't be isolated from the rest of them. It says in Philippians 1:21, for me to live is Christ. That means more than just, for me to live is to be a follower of Christ. No, to me to live is Christ. It's the essence of my life, my new life, who I am. Apart from Him, I've lost myself now. I read someone say one time that Galatians 2:20 is a description of the new creation. I'm crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ who lives in me. What is Colossians 1:27? Because if we're created for glory, then what hope do we have to walk in that? Christ in you, the hope of glory. And then I'll stop with this one. 2 Corinthians 3:18. But we all, with unveiled faces, behold as mirrors. What do mirrors do? The word isn't here, behold in a mirror. I heard that talk for years and years. You look in the Bible, it's like looking in the mirror. That's not the language here at all. It's not the grammar even. The word in a is in italics. It shouldn't be there. We behold as mirrors. Mirrors reflect. For we all with unveiled face behold as mirrors what? The glory of the Lord. Are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as from the Lord the Spirit. What is my calling? What does it mean to walk in the Spirit? Is to Christ who lives in me as my life, to behold His glory. In every temptation, to look to those aspects of His life. You're my purity. You're my peace. You're my gentleness. You're my kindness. You're my whatever. Behold His glory, His presence and His glory. And as I do His presence, He's revealed in me. And the true me. And I'm revealed in Him in glory. That's the Christian life. That's the average, everyday, run-of-the-mill, brown bag Christian life. That's why this truth, guys, is so significant. It's the truth upon which every other truth has to be built. Or people were running around trying to find their identity in the name of the Lord out of great sincerity, but also great frustration. You'll only discover who you are as you discover who He is in you. Because who He is in you and the life He wants to live in you and through you is who you are. Okay? It is 7 o'clock on the nose. All righty, y'all. Dano, you want to close us in prayer?